Well, please sit down. I thought we got another verse then. I was Thank you, David. Shall we pray? Well, Father God, we do thank you for your precious word. It's a light to our path and our guide to our lives. Help us as we read this that we might indeed be doers and not just hearers. Please speak to us by your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're continuing this morning our sermon series in James's letter. We're on page 246 in the New Testament sections there. So you might want to turn that up as we look at it. And I think that we're already beginning to find in chapter 1 straight away that James is intensely practical and realistic. It's good, isn't it? That's what we want, to be able to put into practice the Word of God, what we hear. And the Word of God is the focus in verses 21 to 27 there. But just prior to that, in verses 19 and 20, James, if you like, gets out his highlighter pen as he introduces this new section. You must understand this, my beloved. And the topic which he highlights, well, it's one that the readers or the hearers of this letter are struggling with. Speech and tongue. And speech and tongue are woven throughout the fabric of this letter. It's a problem for the readers. And it can be a problem for us, can't it? So second part of verse 19, it says, let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. So listen much, speak little. And we've all come across those folk who like the sound of their own voices. When you engage in a conversation, it seems to be one way. You can't get a word in edgeways. And the book of Proverbs is full of good advice about keeping quiet. Fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen to advice. Even fools who keep silent are considered wise. When they close their lips, they are deemed intelligent. Being measured in what we say and keeping quiet is a mark of the godly person. And anger is often the vehicle through which unwise words come. That uncontrolled speech, that uncontrolled anger. How often we find ourselves, maybe I'm the only person, how often we find ourselves regretting those words that we've said, perhaps in the heat of the moment. When we should have stood back, we should have kept our mouth shut and considered our response. And James is saying here that the wise person will learn to control anger. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. And for some of us, it's easier said than done. For the Christian, there is that battle within us all, that battle between the old nature and the new nature that we've been given when we come to Jesus. That continuing battle going on within us. And we might feel justified when we get angry, but it's quite sobering what James says, isn't it, in verse 20. For your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Human anger is opposed to God's righteousness. The red mist leads to all sorts of consequences that we regret when we've come back down. And it's by God's grace and the work of His Holy Spirit within us which transforms us. Transforms us so that we're able to control those emotions to be in line with God's word and God's will. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. And what should we be listening to? To each other, yeah? Of course. But in the context of this passage, be listening to God's word. Quick to listen, meaning attentive. So that we hear what God is saying to us through His word. And a listening which results in action. Obedience to that word. How? Well, verse 21, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. Welcome with meekness. We need to clear the ground. This is active, not passive. We must do something. Rid yourselves, says James. We need to actively prepare the soil of our hearts, like a good gardener prepares the ground to receive the seed. Rooting out those weeds which will hinder growth. Those things that will strangle the seed of God's word from growing. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? It's the parable of the sower. You see, when we allow God's word to take up residence inside our hearts, implant God's word deep in the soil of our heart, it actually leads to renewed hearts, transformed hearts, a transformed nature, so that we can truly respond to God's word. So that tongue, that anger can be controlled. Those aspects of our nature which are not what God wants can be dealt with as the Holy Spirit works within us. And as a result, we produce good fruit. But it's worth remembering again, even though we have this new nature within us, there's that continual conflict with our old nature, our old selves. It needs checking continually. We need to welcome with meekness the implanted word. So people who are truly Christian will humbly accept God's word as their authority and guide through life. Do we? Do we really? Do we really place our Bible reading as a high priority in our lives? How do we prepare the soil practically? Do we make time in our busy lives to establish a good Bible habit? To welcome with meekness that word that's implanting? Are we really quick to listen to God's word? Are we going on with God? And slow to speak, going on with others. Now James seems to qualify the listening in verse 22. He says, but be doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. So yes, listen. Listen to the word, study it, ponder it, meditate on it, but above all, do it. Again, it's active, not passive. Needing a response in what we do. Because listeners only deceive themselves. Now, some time ago, I was chatting with somebody who wasn't a Christian, and they were telling me about their friends who went to church, not this church, I hasten to add. And they were telling me that they weren't different at all from anybody else. They gossiped about others. They used foul language. Some were fiddling their expenses. Their friends who went to church were not living the way they thought Christians ought to live. And it was a bad advert for Christianity. It was a bad witness to Jesus. And James says it's deception. Be doers of the word, not merely hearers who deceive themselves. It's blindness to their true state. These people think they're right with God, but they're not. And what's sobering is we can be a regular churchgoer. We could be an ordinand, a vicar, or even a professor of theology, hearing the word of God. But if we don't do it, we don't live it out, we're conning ourselves. We're not right with God, says James. So yes, when we hear the word of God and we receive it humbly, it has power to save. But it has to be lived out in lives. Otherwise, it's not real. We're deceived. So what's it like? Well, James says so in verses 23 to 25. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they're like those who look at themselves in a mirror, for they look at themselves and on going away, immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. You see, hearers only look in a mirror and forget, whereas doers look into the perfect law, or the word, it's the same. Do it. And the looking here isn't just a glance, it's a contemplation. It's the same looking in the mirror as it is in the word. So what's going on with this mirror bit? What's that all about? Well, the mirror is like a book. And in it, we see a reflected image, an imperfect image. We see ourselves as we are, our moral state, our need. And the hearer only goes away and forgets and does nothing about what they see. But those who look into God's perfect law, his word, it shows us the way to live. We don't forget. We persevere in that way and keep on. So do we go away? Are we the forgetful hearer? Or the doer who acts and perseveres? Do we put into practice what we read? Do we allow God's word to challenge us as we look closely at it, as we study it? And the result of the hearing and doing, can you see it there in verse 25, right at the end? They will be blessed in their doing. Blessed. You see, do we think that God's way is restrictive? Well, it's not at all. James says it's the law of liberty. In it we're truly free and truly blessed. It's God's way for our lives, and within it we find true satisfaction. It's not bondage, it's freedom to be the people God really intends us to be. You see, it's always been that way. Right back in Exodus, just before the Ten Commandments were given. This is what God said. You'll remember it well. Then God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. God rescues first and saves. Then once you've been rescued and saved, how do you respond? How do you behave in response to my love, says God? Obedience, then the Ten Commandments. It's grace first. It always is. So it's real liberty, not restriction. To be truly human the way God intended us to be. Isn't that the way Jesus lived? He's our model. He was truly human. And finally, James summarizes everything in a test. A series of tests, three tests, for anyone claiming genuine religious experience there in verses 26 to 27. Test one, controlling your tongue demonstrates genuineness. So if we're the genuine article, we'll be careful what we say. Failure to bridle the tongue is nothing but self-deception and vanity, says James. Test two, action. Action demonstrates genuineness. How we help the helpless. How we help those less fortunate than ourselves. And test three, the way we live demonstrates genuineness. Living free and pure lives. It's challenging, isn't it? There's loads in there. We've really scratched the surface. But I have to ask, how do we match up with James's test?